Okay, people, we're going to get started with the next section, dealing with the political implications, dealing with the role. Please, everybody can come back on in, have a seat. This is a section where we're going to have room for a lot of discussion, a lot of back and forth between everyone here on this issue. So we are going to introduce one of the family members that has been active in this case. What she'll do is actually give some discussion. We'll get your attention. Everybody in the back? Hey.
Yeah.
All right. We're not done. We're not finished. We still have people here. We still got plenty of work to do, but this is the chance to actually open it up. We've been at I don't know how many different teach-ins where we had a panel, there's been a short Q&A, and then people go home. This is exactly what we don't want to have happen today. So what we want to do right now is actually have one of the family members actually speak at this time about her role in this movement in terms of what it'll take to actually win justice while we rank. Then we'll move into the section that will deal with the political implications of this case, the historic opportunity that we actually have to deal with the role of the police, and we want your participation from everyone. So, no further ado, I'm going to introduce Wanda Diane Marks, and she will be able to talk just briefly before we move to the next session.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to everyone that came out and support this meeting. I know that we all have been sacrificing to do so much. But coming from the family, I can say thank you so much. We're so grateful and so appreciative to all the love and support that we've been receiving from the community. I also want to say thank you for every individual that even whispered out yesterday, happy birthday, Tatiana. Whether you were there present or whether you were there in spirit, we still like to say thank you. Tatiana had a wonderful birthday yesterday, even though there was a piece of puzzle missing out of her life. But she was very welcomed with a lot of love and gifts from not just the family members, but for our new family members that we have met in the community, and that means so much to us. But what I want to talk about is a little bit about what it means to mobilize this movement for Oscar Grant, or what it means to me personally. We have seen police brutality for so many years, and this time it's actually been caught. And that's what makes this case so different than all the rest of the cases. A very upset, angry man, discouraged, frustrated. But I'm taking that energy and I'm moving it in a positive way. And the way that I'm moving it, if you can see the flyers that we did, Justice for Oscar Grant with the date when we did the other flyers that had MTL on them, and some other individuals that were involved in police brutality. It can be us next, but not caught on tape. So this is our opportunity to let the police and the system know no more lynching, because that's what they did to Oscar Grant. So what does it mean to me as a godmother? What does it mean to us as a family and as a community? We have to come stronger in numbers. It's a must. It's an urgent. Why is it urgent? Because if we don't stand up and double the numbers of the police department of the bar, and double the numbers of the police department of the city of Oakland, since presently now that the trial is taking place in Alameda County, I I believe the police department within itself has less than 1,000 officers. So if we can take, in the city of Oakland, we can take one person and stand that one person in front of each officer is actually employed with the Oakland Police Department. So that's 1,000 people. So we got man-to-man now. It's just like playing basketball. You're gonna play man-to-man position. You're mobilizing. So we take 1,000 human beings and set them in front of 1,000 police officers. This is just for the city of Oakland. This is not counting the chief police. This is not counting the sergeants. This is just the police officer within himself. Now, we talk about the Alameda County Sheriffs. I believe they have about 1,200, if I'm not mistaken. And you take 1,200 more additional individuals, and you go man to man again. So now you have 2,200 of us, of community people. Now let's talk about BART. BART, if we take another 900, this is not impossible for us to do. It's not impossible. If we talk about BART and we'll say about 900, we add 900 to that number. If we can get 3,000 people out to stand out in front of this court day, it may not be Monday, maybe it's Tuesday, or maybe it's Wednesday. But if we can bring out 800 each day, we're sending a message. And the police have to know that we're sick and we're sick and we're sick and we're sick and we are sick of tired of police brutality. I'm going to think peaceful. But inside of me, what I really want to do, I will not do because I have integrity. I feel that if we come together like we're doing here and other sessions that we sit in, and we can come together and sacrifice and bringing ourselves together in numbers, we can make an impact. We have to do this. If we do not do this, then what effect are we really going to make? I know I personally put in, when it first took place, I don't sleep. Sometimes I'm sending out emails 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm pacing up and down my block thinking, what the hell can I do at 2 o'clock in the morning? What can I do? I find myself talking to trees. I find myself talking to different things. So if we can just really mobilize this by bringing out one person to stand with us in the movement, or bring out 10 people to stand out in the movement. We all did a wonderful job over the weekend. We had 3,000 post flyers that we got out. We had 5,000 flyers that we got out. So I think we did pretty good on a short notice of getting this stuff printed. So what am I saying? This movement, if we stick to it and be consistent, we can get justice. And that's how I feel.
Thank you, Diana, for speak freely and speak some truth about your feelings and about your involvement and the involvement of family in this issue. I mean, to be frank with you, I mean, this is, and mind you, this is now back and forth. So it's not just static. I don't want everybody just sitting around just, you know, being bored or feeling like there's nothing to do. There's all kinds of stuff to do at this point. And I think in terms of the political implications that one of the panel members were actually talking about, as far as what kind of arena we're looking at, she said it's all political. Everything is political at this point. If we take a look at the bigger picture and we start to focus on what are the major aspects of this case that stand out, we can look beyond the videotapes that actually got on YouTube, thankfully. We can look beyond the protests that happened on the 7th and the 14th. Thankfully, that did happen. Thankfully, people were able to recognize this as an issue nationally and internationally. We got to look at the role of police. We got to have an understanding in terms of what the police actually do. The police are not here to serve and protect general people. Most of us know this from either personal experience or dealing with issues where people have been hurt, maimed, and killed by the police. So in order to understand the political implications of how things may proceed during this preliminary hearing and beyond, we have to deal with what the police do, what are they likely to do, and what is their place in society, and that's to maintain order in a divided class society using state-sanctioned violence. Let's just speak honestly about this. They use their weapons, they use their guns. On the 7th, we saw tanks in the streets of Oakland. What kind of intimidation is this when we can have, in 2009, people protesting someone who was shot on a bar platform with his hands behind his back, surrounded by police, and you have opposition to this, and I'm not condoning it, but look, there's a big difference between windows getting busted and somebody getting shot in the back. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying? It's also about who allows this kind of thing to actually happen. This isn't just some bad apples. These aren't a few bad apples out here. This is systemic. You've actually got mayors that are behind this, civil authorities. You've got prosecutors that are behind this. You've got people in all echelons of power that allow this kind of brutality to happen. So what are the next steps? These are the things that we want to deal with. We ask the question on this program. We ask the question in terms of why this case is so different. And we also talked about why police are able to get away with this. Because they're part of the system that allows this to actually happen. We don't need to ignore that or be ignorant of that. At this point, it's about speaking bitterness for a change so that we can move positively in the right direction towards resolution in this case. Yes, we need to be there tomorrow, May 18th, 8 o'clock in the morning. We need to get busy because just as Bernie Sanders was saying, it's about the movement at this point. We don't put pressure on the DA, ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing will change. So we're going to open it up right now to talk about the police. Share your stories. Anyone can speak at this time. We want to open it up and get some energy in the room. So anyone who wants to has anything to say at all.
Okay, I apologize because I know I've already spoken. But one thing I was wanting to suggest that as much as possible, that every day that there's a court, any kind of court hearing, that somebody from us can be in the courtroom, be taking notes, and then send out those notes that day so everybody who could make it to the court knows what happened in the court, because even though there's going to be journalists inside the courtroom, they lie, they don't represent really what's going down. And that way also, people who can't make it to the court but maybe were there at the BART train, they can see the lies that are being told in the courtroom and to rectify it if the lies are being told. But it's really important to get the real truth out to the people of what's happening in the courtroom every day.
Who's next? Who has something to say? If nobody... Okay.
Well, I would say that you've already said it and gave you, perfectly good clear example of how people are systematically organizing to hold people back in place. This is about organizing. It's just getting together and getting together and getting folks, you know. This is getting together and getting folks to open up their minds about what's really going on and taking the right slip of what's been going on historically. What's been taking, what's been happening across this country, what the police are doing. But the police are only one apparatus, one aspect of this. It's capitalism, folks. Everybody knows it. We've been dealing under capitalism for the last 2,000 years or more, dealing under the oppression of numerical apparatus to hold it back. We have the social, we have the political, and we have the economic. We got the social, we got the policeman who tells us what's right and what's wrong. We got the political, we got the politician who can use social street and his words to undermine what he really needs to do. And we have the businessman who can run circles around us economically with money and franchises and trusts and all sorts of other apparatus to hold us back and basically keep this system in place. And it's not, see, what I've understood is that it's not this thing of good or bad. You're right and you're wrong. That's the low level of understanding about what capitalism really is. Capitalism is a system that doesn't work for everybody. It's a system that works for minority at the top and they're holding themselves in power. So they're fighting, they're keeping this in place. The question is, what can we do as people? We can get together. Divide and conquer tactics are basically what leads to, as the Roman tactics have been since the institution of the standing armies, since the time of the Romans. What we can do is get together. But that means we have to commit time. We have to commit structure. We have to say, I will be here to do this. I am making a commitment to do this. And that means we need to support one another, and that means materially. The resources that we have, we all have resources. Everybody here has resources that we can actually be sharing that somebody else in the world can use as resources. But we're not doing that because we don't think about sharing our resources all the time. We usually get caught up in saying, what can I do for myself? We're caught up on our priorities of the self. It's just backwards. It's backwards when you're trying to build community, when you're trying to build people to move forward in a common direction so that everybody can get their needs met. And that's what it's going to take, basically. We're going to have to lay the groundwork, the foundation of a house. It's just like building a house. If you don't have a foundation, you're up in the air and you're caught up in issues. You have the issues of non-systemic organizing that will put pressure and trying to pry and ply open the cracks and crevices of the capitalist system where you see problems. But focusing only on problems instead of building an alternative system which people can use themselves, that's what we really need. We need to build institutions. We need to sit and take a hard look at ourselves and what we're doing with our time. Focusing on the problems alone, well, that's good, and we need people to do that. We need to build alternatives for people out there, because there's a lot of people out there right now who don't have jobs, who are losing their houses, who are economically unviable within the capitalist structure, and they're sitting around like, what the fuck am I going to do? I need to rob and steal. I need to get by. I need to survive by any means necessary. And they're not talking to people like us who are a little bit higher-minded and say, okay, I'm going to take time to organize because I've taken care of my fundamental needs so far. These are the people we need to be talking to and organizing with to build something fundamentally different from what has been set up for us and given to us. And said, oh, this is the way to do it. Don't ask questions about why it's systematically fucking you. Dr. Lawrence was not with the Immigration Committee for the Black Panther Party, and we're working that 24/7. We're there from 9 to 9 every day. We're working on this organization, we're talking to people, we're getting things going, and,
Thank you. Thank you. It's to speak up, so you now have a chance to say whatever it is that you want. I have this one over here. He was next. This is what I'm going to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's how it's going to be. Okay.
So it looks like there should be a problem getting people organized to be here if the crowd ends up being here local. It's going to take a lot of organizing if they get a change of venue, and that would be a bigger issue. And the big thing would be to get down there, get people informed and educated, get everyone to know what happened to Oscar. And then another thing would be harder to have a presence of people up here down in the court down there. So right now it's just getting people organized to be at the preliminary hearings, whatever hearings happen here, to make sure there's a consistent presence of people supporting Oscar in the courtroom. But if they get the change of venue, it's going to take a lot of work to get people down there. That's all I'm saying. Wherever, if they get a change of venue, there's no guarantee where the change of venue would be, but that would mean that it would take a lot of organizing to get the word down there, get people organized so people know what happened.
I just wanted to add a little bit about the point you made about January 7th. I was down there from the Prevo rally, the March Down International in downtown. And the only violence I actually saw, and this is an important distinction to me, but violence is when people hurt other people. And the only violence I saw was police on citizens. I saw police using tear gas against people. I saw police clubbing, pushing, shoving, striking people that were just standing around. I saw one man who completely was submitting to arrest, cooperating with police. They put him on the ground, they handcuffed him, and they tasered him for probably what was close to a minute. It was complete torture. People were screaming, stop tasing him, stop tasing him, stop tasing him, over and over, and they just kept tasing him for no reason at all. So I know the family does not want people to resist in ways such as breaking windows and so forth, but when that does happen, because sometimes people do lose their tempers, I just want people to be clear about where the real violence comes from.
I just want to encourage us to think very strategically throughout this process, because anything can happen. It can be a change of venue, it can be a change in the charges, it can be all kinds of stuff. And I did want to share with you that as we look out farther, even beyond this case, you know, okay, there's going to come a day when there is going to be a verdict, and there's going to come a day when there's a reaction. I'm interested in the day after that. Because through all this wonderful, beautiful organizing, all this courage and strength and heart that's been poured into this, and it looks like, you know, this movement is poised to continue resistance in such a variety of ways, and that's all beautiful. And I think the challenge for us is, what do we build? What have we built that will prevent the next police murder, that will prevent the next abuse? So I did want to share with you some positive developments that we've seen. Around January 10th or 11th, a group, we put out a call. I work with Burnley Cop Watch, and we wanted to contribute to those folks who hadn't joined up with some other group, and then we wanted to be picking an opportunity to come together and talk. And very almost unanimously, people decided that they wanted to get on the streets and they wanted to do Cop Watch. And they wanted to be there with video cameras and watch the police and prevent abuses. So over these months, there's a number of folks in the room who can attest who've been doing cop watch shifts, who've been driving around, going out at all hours of the night, responding to people's calls. And I tell you, this was two positive things. One is that my experience of going out thus far in Oakland is that no cop has told me that a cop has told me to back up. But I have not gotten mad dogged by Oakland cops the way that Berkeley cops do. Because the Oakland cops know, one, that Oakland cop watchers are out there, and two, if they mess with the Oakland cop watcher, there's going to be a political price to pay. And so it is very clear that they have been instructed not to abuse the cop watchers. Now, that may not always be the case, but in this political moment, that is the case, and that's an opportunity for us. It is also true that the Know Your Rights trainings and the educational effort are ongoing. As a matter of fact, last night we were out in Kelly's neighborhood, and there was a whole situation with the guys who had killed somebody in the car and smashed the car, and that whole situation, you know, Martin Luther King from 53rd to 57 was locked off, sealed. Cops, it was quite a collection, the helicopters. Cops dressed, it looked like a scene out of Iraq. Because there was apparently the Berkeley SWAT team, about 20 teams dressed. They got the M4s, they're outfitted just like Iraqi soldiers, going house to house, etc. We need to study that situation and figure out, if we don't want the cops to deal with that, how are we ready to step up? Are we ready to get organized? At least what we can do is those neighbors who are standing on the corner watching it, just monitoring it. Is the cop's behavior outrageous or is it not? But our presence there holds them accountable. That presence. And what was really encouraging to me is Kevin's neighbors were like, give me some more of those Know Your Rights cards because I want to give them out to the kids. Hey, tell you what if I organize a little group in my house and maybe we do a Know Your Rights training right there in the house? And maybe we'll get the kids on the corner to videotape and to hold them accountable. And this is the kind of consciousness that may endure beyond and as a result of the struggle that we are now facing. And for those folks who want to talk about, yes, I do agree. I don't believe any justice is coming out of this system. I don't believe that Tom Worlock, I don't believe that Doc Clay is an honest broker in this deal. I've already in Berkeley, we have the experience of Don Clay presiding over a drug-dealing cop and telling he can go back home and go to drug rehab. And by the way, you don't have to tell us how much drugs you stole. You don't have to tell us that you got informants everywhere and you're moving drugs from other. Don't tell us that, please. So that. So how's he going to deal with this cop? I don't think it looks good, frankly. But I think this looks good. I think this right here looks good. And I just want to encourage folks again to value the education, value the consciousness, because I think that will endure. By the way, we got 2 million rights for in here, so.
I'd just like to talk a little bit about the strategy of protest and how we might break things down to where the cops don't have control over people that are protesting. One of those things might be, instead of everybody grouping together, that they actually come from different neighborhoods in the city and different marches. And we have like 5 or 6 marches that come downtown and get together down there and then march back out. Because the cops like to have everybody together in one place so they can control everything. We can like actually take away some of that control they have by dispersing things out. The other thing is going out into the like the DA's home and doing a protest there. Or things like doing a protest at midnight because they're running out of money for their budgets and everything. So I mean, if we like have more overtime that they can't afford now, we're going to put them under pressure. Like, can we really afford to be policing these people all the time? And I mean, we need to take control of the protests and not just follow along in the way that they like it, where everybody's together and they can like circle around and like control the things. So those are kind of things I like to strategize on the protests.
We get to everybody in this room.
Sorry, my daughter was calling from jail, so instead of talking to her in this moment, I'm going to talk to you. I was in here earlier, and I'm sorry, because I was writing an article for Revolution and they were going to press. But the things, so I might repeat some of the things that people would say, so please excuse me. The things I've been thinking about is, I agree with what the speaker up front was saying, is that the police role is not to protect and to serve, but to actually keep people down and serve its system. And for that reason, they go to great lengths to protect the police, even when they do outrageously, egregious, nasty things. But I think that this is not a slam dunk either way, that the other side, meaning the police and the courts and the mainstream media and the system that controls them, are up against a lot of contradictions. People here and people all around the world saw those videos. You know, and so for some people, it just validated what they already knew. But for other people, it was a shocking wake-up call. So I think that the system will have to weigh, and it can't just kind of tank the whole case if it thinks that people are watching in Oakland, watching around the world, are paying attention. You know, so I think that's part of our role, is to make sure that we keep the attention on this case. That, you know, friends of mine are going out with this guerrilla video thing, and they're playing the cell phone videos at night in the neighborhoods. But other good ideas, you know, of phone banking, calling the talk shows, you know, call in. Facebook, all those things, keep it in the public eye, because I think that it's possible that this case might be the rare case that could actually get a murder conviction. You know, and I think that would be I think that would be justice. I think that would be the right way to remember Oscar Grant. And I also think it would be a tremendous blow to a system that thrives and counts on police brutality. And I think, you know, that's historic. So that's what I wanted to say. And I wanted to say I've been out this weekend protesting torture. And in the last couple of months, everybody's seen, you know, one after another news story kind of revealing the dimensions and the depths of systemic and systematic torture by the U.S. government and people around the world, very linked to police brutality. These people who are tortured are often arrested at random and then tortured, you know? So I sort of want to point out sort of the same system that is committing torture around the world is also unleashing police brutality domestically and rampantly. And so how we view it at Revolution and Revolution Books is that this struggle is very important in the context of building a revolutionary movement that can actually end police brutality.
Hi. I wanted to comment, first of all, in the broader sense, not just the Oscar Grant case, but defending our rights in general. We're not going to be able to do that in the long run, so long as we, in the long run, accept the limitations to the present system and impose on us. We've got to go beyond those. That being said, however, I wanted to comment about one within the system thing that people should be prepared to do that, unfortunately, it's my experience that many people try to avoid. And what I'm talking about is jury service. It's many, many times that it's so frustrating when I've been trying cases and we've been selecting a jury, and one of the questions asked of the prospective jurors is, well, can you judge a police officer's testimony by the same standard you judge other people's testimony? And people who are there to get out of jury duty will say, no, I don't believe so. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I believe anything a cop ever said. Maybe you think that, maybe you don't, but if you think that, lie. And if you think there's some circumstance under which you might believe a cop, say, well, yeah, I can judge the testimony by the same standard as everybody else. In other words, what I'm saying is don't try to get out of jury duty, try to get onto that jury. Because, well, make them answer the questions on voir dire in such a way that the DA has to use a peremptory to get rid of it. But that's the least you can do. But try to, because remember, once you get on a jury, you have the power to prevent a conviction. One juror has the power to prevent a conviction. You just got to do it right. You just got to argue the evidence with your fellow jurors and not just say, I don't care what the evidence is. I'm not going to vote to convict. That'll get you kicked off the jury. But be reasonable, act reasonable, and vote to acquit.
That's right.
You'll know when you're called into the courtroom. They'll tell you that it's a, they'll tell you what kind of a case.
Okay.
In Sonoma County, our chief cop watcher was arrested last May for filming an intrusion. And the suppression of the civil rights there was so severe that we had to get a part of a group called JAMA. JAMA stands for Justice Abuse Victims Liability Information Network. The concept behind it is to use venture capital to lever these events into a position to get jury awards for violation of civil rights far in excess of what would ordinarily be expected, and at a level of reprisal, you know, that would create some changes in policies by their own accord. And the language of this process and the business plan details are still in the makings, and this Oscar Grant event, I think has the potential of being a watershed event where the attorney is asking for $50 million in damages, to where another, say, $10 or $15 in venture capital would double that to $100 million in damages. And if those things were happening regularly, when someone was deprived of his constitutional rights or civil rights, and even to the slightest degree, if these were compensated at a level of significant level of reprisal, the system couldn't afford to continue doing what it's doing. Thank you.
One of the things I heard in terms of the direct action that one of the lawyers suggested that I feel like is a very tangible, useful thing for us to do is to give the witnesses statements ourselves and document that and share it out to the media, to whoever, share it out to the whatever general attorney, federal government, blah, blah, blah. So that's something I'm interested in doing. I feel like we need to, what I heard that particular lawyer say was that we need to do this ourselves. Whatever the DA is not doing, we need to go ahead and do it. So that was a very clear action item that I want to just repeat. And I also want to extend my gratitude for the learning session because it was very helpful for me.
Okay, I see. I'm going to have you speak next if you haven't said anything.
To just get up to speed on what's been going on and coming. I'm curious to hear if there's an organized response that's going to be happening for the people who do go to the courthouse in the case of A or B or C before that happen, and what that might look like tomorrow and the following week. Also, I just wanted to put out there that, I'm burned out, right? I've been fighting for years, this or that, and it's like fighting the systematic oppression of just trying to keep people's voices down. Like, I'm tired, And I had this revelation where I realized that if I were going to keep going doing this work, that I really have to take care of myself and also take care of each other. So with that said, I wanted to just let y'all know that there have been a presence of street medics that we've been organizing since basically inspired through what happened on New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. I mean, this whole thing that came out of that was a group of people who are interested in taking care of one another. And we're asked to be present tomorrow, and hopefully in the following weeks in case shit is going to go down. So just so you all know, just spread the word, there will be medics available for any of you, whether it's just, you need some ibuprofen if you have a headache, or some water, or, with something on that comes up, which we all know, historically, may not be that far-fetched. So I just want to put that out there, and also to let you all know that we are doing trainings as well, so people can be more informed about how to deal with things like tear gas, or, blunt trauma, and things that people experience when they're out in the streets. And so, email us at radicalhelp@gmail.com. We got to take care of each other.
Thank you. You raise a few really important points. I mean, one of them is the fact that there's people that are burned out from actually doing this, for this amount of time. Just to speak briefly to that, I don't know who else has been out here more than the families. They are continuing to come out on a regular basis. They are an inspiration. I think we should look to them for even more inspiration in terms of how to keep moving at this point. Because frankly speaking, the police and the government and every other aspect of the establishment wants us to be tired. They want us to be burned out. They want us to basically just go home and just pretend as if this did not happen, or even worse, agree with the madness that somehow Messerly actually made a mistake in terms of wanting to take someone and actually shot him dead, surrounded by police. So I'm with you in terms of, you know, understanding that and being and looking at thinking outside the box in terms of new strategy and new tactics as far as where to go right now. And I think that your idea and your action is going to be valuable in terms of what we'll be able to do to build even more support. I just want to move the microphone over here to the co-facilitator who has a couple things she wants to say.
I just wanted to add, because actually Tony just walked out and was going to do an announcement, the questions around other kinds of support and sort of plans for the week. At minimum, what we know is that there's going to be a press conference in Raleigh on Monday and tomorrow, and that's going to be at 8 a.m. And does anybody else know rally time? If there's any other rally time besides first thing in the morning? Anyone else know for sure?
What's that?
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to, yeah, for sure. But if there was a, I want to see if there was anything else specific. That's going to be, so we have, you know, we have the street med team, obviously, that we are representing and is going to be out. And then we also have the legal observers who are going to be out. One of the things we know at CMED is that, you know, things have died down for a little while, and, you know, if they start picking back up again, you know, around the court case and stuff, you know, the police are a lot more likely to overreact now, especially since, since Lavelle Nixon's situation, Lavelle Nixon killed the four cops, you know, there's a lot more reason to be concerned about their potential overreaction to mass mobilization. Having said that, of course, we're going out anyway because, you know, that's what we do. And in terms of just the protection part and being prepared, we do have legal observers or mobilized crowds of the National Guard to live in that special event. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations where we know when the event begins, we don't know when it ends. The important parts are going to be the beginning and the end, but unfortunately, we don't know when it ends yet. So it's going to be one of those things where you have to be watching.
Okay. And we want to continue to emphasize for everybody that just came in to please go ahead and sign in on our sign-in sheet in the back. And the fact that while, you know, New Year's Movement for Justice is an organization, we work with different organizations, that's the only way we're really going to be able to get things done. So we are more than willing to participate in any other action that is centered on doing the right thing on this issue. Any other ideas too that people have as far as new ideas, thinking outside the box, doing new things that we haven't even seen before as far as being able to popularize this issue, feel free.
I was just thinking about a scripture that comes to mind that says that the race is not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but to the one that endures to win. And this is only the beginning of the preliminary hearings. And so it may take another year and maybe even longer to see the final outcome. And we as a family, we need each one of your support and your help. And we need you to be out there supporting us. We need you to come out to rally. We need you to keep this in the forefront so people will not forget about it, because that's oftentimes what the police and everyone else wants you to do, is forget about the incident and go back to your daily lives. And only if you continue to keep it in the forefront will something happen and something be done. Because we don't want, my family doesn't want this to happen to anyone else's family. And so in order for it not to happen to anyone else's family, we have to rally together to keep this in the forefront and say that we're not going to accept it any longer. We're not going to accept the police brutality that's going on, that's been unseen, and we want people like Cop Watch, I thank Kelly for that, for bringing that out, that we want people out there on the streets looking and seeing, and if we see officers doing things that's unjust, that those things get reported. Because it's only then, you know, if this keeps coming to the front, that something like this is happening, that the court system is going to have to take a stand and have to do something about it. So we need you to come out. We need you to support. We need you to tell everybody that you know, hey, this happened. Tell across the globe what happened to my son, and that it cannot happen again, and that we are doing everything that we can here to ensure that justice is served for my son, and not only my son, but others who have been that happened to before, and others that they will try to make it happen to again. And so we need your support. We need your assistance.
Yeah. I just want to share something with you that happened the other day. So this is, we didn't ask for this, but this is what's happening now. Like, Oscar was murdered. My son was friend of Oscar's, and he died. He was murdered in front of his best friend, since the mother of his child was downstairs. So we didn't ask for all this, but this is what they're doing now. And you wouldn't expect this from the DA. But the other day, I get a phone call about 3:30. My son said, Dad, you gotta come home. I said, what's wrong? He said, man, they're beating on the door. I said, who's beating on the door? He says, it's two dudes outside beating on the door. So I drive home, and then my son's friend said, Big Jack, they tried to get in through the front door. I blocked them off. They were trying to get into my unit, my apartment. So then I catch the elevator and I'm running down the hall, and what I see? I see two men beating on my front door and kicking the door. And they're saying, we know you're in there, Jackie, come out. We know you're in there, come out. So then me and the two young men get into it. I won't cuss, but I'm like, blah, blah, you better get away from my blah, blah door. And they're trying to like talk, and I'm saying, I ain't gotta tell you nothing, blah, 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 blah. So then they go, well, here, you just been served. We'll see you in court at 8 o'clock. The idiot served the wrong person. They were looking for my son. But this is the type of stuff, you know, that they're doing. So 2 days later, what did they do? They come with the police department and catch my son when he's walking outside the door, and they jump out on him and serve him with the police department. So this is what I'm saying. Not only did they kill my son's friend, but now they're trying to degrade us. You know, and so that's why we have to show up in numbers and numbers and numbers. Because if you show up in numbers, then these folks are serious. So it's just happened out here. So, you know. Thank you.
I just kind of wanted to respond to a couple of things people have said about if you're attending a court hearing and you want to get the word out, a great place to do it is at IndyBay.org. Most of you guys probably already know about IndyBay, but do feel empowered. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to write a 3,000-word essay. You know, if you see something important that you think is newsworthy, that you think is newsworthy, not that the corporate media thinks is, not that the police think is, that you think is newsworthy. You witness some police violence, write a few paragraphs, snap a photo with your cell phone and post it there. The corporate media isn't necessarily our friend. You know that they're friendly with corporations, they're friendly with the police. So do your own reporting and make your own news. And that's IndyBay.org.
We got time for a few more. I'm going to go with people who have not spoken so far. So actually, it will be you and then you.
People like rot water and like fruit and any medications.
that they might have to take at that time, like especially if they have asthma concerns, and like putting it in a space which would be really accessible for you all. It'll like help out other people as well as yourselves, like having water and keeping like up your hydration and stuff, because it's been really hot recently.
I just want to say at this point, my concern is the media, not the COVID at all. It's something to televise. And I'm very concerned that the media might be in cahoots with the police department. So it has to be covered. I mean, that's what the media is for, to cover these kind of situations. So, I just hope the media does what it's supposed to do, or else it's just going to be forgotten. You know, it's those people will be forgotten. And the only way to make an impact is people organize so that the media has to cover it. And I guess that's the biggest issue. I was looking at Slingshot, and I was looking through this issue. I didn't see anything concerning tomorrow's hearing. And I thought Slingshot was the bottom source. Barely mentioned. I didn't know that the hearing was happening until I saw a video at the bar station. So I think the biggest concern is apathy, lack of coverage. And I'm going to say it. I don't see priorities here. I don't understand that. You know, I'm going to say it.
I just wanted to say on what he was saying, there's been a media blackout with this movement. So, I mean, there's been a lot of signs, and I know that now it's having a press conference one day. I mean, it's been, but that doesn't stop the movement, because internet is moving right now. So, you can see that when Obama was running, they were doing him the same way to a degree, but he took advantage of the internet. And we have to be down with the modern time. And we can move and continue to move without mainstream because the internet, everybody's on the internet. And we just have to do the footwork and the groundwork that's going to be required, because there is a blackout on media concerning this, because they know that media determines people's thought process. So they don't want nobody to have compassion. And they want the police officer to get off. And I don't know if you're talking about the brothers not here or around, because I know I did some things about the brothers. So I just wanted to make that clear. They did, obviously not. I said a couple here too, but they do be around. I just wanted to clarify that.
And just a further clarification too, on the 7th and the 14th, it was mainly people of color out there, period. And in terms of what people are doing right now, you'd be surprised at how many folks, you know, wanted to be active and are actually active and just aren't here. So I'm not really getting on you, and I really appreciate those comments, because, you know, truthfully, there is a media whiteout. I can definitely relate to that. But also too, just had a gentleman in the front over here that was just saying, use our own media. Go to any media. That's one of the best things that we can do. Make our own noise. Because honestly speaking, I mean, if we had not been vocal in the first place, the media never would have covered it. That's bottom line. So now, I mean, in terms of what other people have actually said as far as what new ideas we have at this time, is to endure, to put constant pressure on these folks, to think outside the box, and to unite with anybody who can who actually wants to get out here and do the right thing.
I want to comment on the media, the strategy, and I think it will work very well, because it worked good for Oscar. Innocent individuals were a part of experiencing that experience. And we can all just take our own personal cameras, starting of the trial, and start videotaping some of the things that you're a part of, And where am I going with this is that we can get our own video coverage. We can become the media. We can send that over to Canada, British, send it out in the U.S., send it out of the country. Because the last thing that the media here in the Bay Area wants to do is to be embarrassed. Okay? And we can get them to start coming out of the tie-in box zone, because that's what they're in. It's called a tie-in box zone. Okay? They're in a box, and the police have tied them in. So they're in a tie-in box zone. And it takes us to help them come out of the box. They're in a tie-in box zone. Okay? So we need to start taking our own videotapes or our own sounds, and let's start searching the web, and let's start sending that out of this American country, and let's get it somewhere else, and let the media know that, hey, no, you haven't been working the footage for us, but we're going to help you work it.
We are going to move on. I know a lot of people's hands are up, so one thing that is really important that we want to bring out is for tomorrow. First, can I get a show of hands of everyone who's going to show up tomorrow? Okay, it's beautiful. Now, we're also needing to, because we're trying to become more strategic and more effective in everything that we're doing, how many people here are going to be able to come out to the rest of the events that may happen throughout the week? Let me see a show of hands of other people who are available. So keep in mind, so I can see it. Actually, that is actually pretty good for this size room. If all y'all can actually get out to other days during the week, that is excellent. That is very good. We, again, I talked about the sign-in sheet.
So we want to make sure everybody signs the sign-in sheet. We can send out reminders. We also want to be able to get a sense of, I don't know if there are folks who want to sign up now for days, but for days that they're going to show up. But clearly, you know, I think that the attorney, Andre, I thought that her suggestion that we really look over time, like at each time that there's a period or a week or a couple weeks or whatever, that we have a schedule. And, you know, especially also providing the burnout issue, you know, we all can't be everywhere, all every day, all the time. And so it would probably be wise for us to actually come up with a calendar and do shifts. People can, you know, and really be organized about, you know, knowing that we're going to have people there when we have there. Because we know that if we don't do that, you know, we've also seen the other thing happen, which is when we don't do that, it ends up, you know, a handful of family members and 25 cops or something like that, which is just crazy too. So I want to encourage people if people know now, if you know now about days that you're going to be here, can you send them over here? We'll help you sign up for the days or times when you could go. And then the next thing that we're going to do, there's a couple of things on the agenda. There are a couple more things on the agenda, and then we're going to wrap it. Friday, and a little bit early, because we need to, there's another event coming in. But what I would like to do right now is real quick, I want to explain a little bit about this packet and kind of our organization. And how we're getting our, you know, how we're trying to get ourselves set up both on the internet, but then also kind of old school using things like paper. And the reason, and so I'm going to go through a couple of the things so that people know. So, and a lot of this is going to be on the internet as well. But I found, I don't know if anybody else did, but like finding good, solid information and tools off of the internet, number one, it's just not as easy as it was when this first started. When this first started, it was really easy to just download materials, flyers, all these things. But now that everything has kind of died down a little bit, it's a little bit harder. And so one of the things we have to do is create the kind of the toolbox. And we also have to create tools so that anybody can use it. So if you've got friends in Stockton or in LA or, you know, across the world or across the country, people can get online and you can download the original for this poster, and you can make this poster and put it in your window. You can use the poster and put four of them on a piece of paper and make it into stickers. You know, you can use it for flyers. There's a lot of things that you can do with just a handful of, you know, with some real simple tools. So we're trying to also encourage people to not get too, like, over-reliant on just the internet and computers and stuff, too. There's still a lot that we can do without it. We created this talking point thing. One of the things that keeps coming up is that people, we need more people who are able to speak to the media when the media is present. And we need more spokespeople, we need more practice, we need to do trainings. You know, people need to know what the key points are, and the way that we do that is by sharing the responsibility for that. We're past, you know what, like before when there were hundreds of thousands of people, that's what everybody wanted to be up there in front of the cameras, and everybody wanted the limelight and all of that. Well, now we're over that hump. And now we're like, you know, we don't have that problem anymore. Now the problem we have is we need more people to be out and speaking, you know, and be speaking in an informed way. And so we're creating the materials that can be available to people so that, you know, any day this week, if someone comes up to you or the camera comes up to you and says, well, why are you here? Well, why don't you trust the VA? You know, why should people come out? Then, you know, that's why we're putting out materials like this. Similarly, we put together, with the help of one of our legal folks, this handout about the components of the criminal proceedings, because as we said before, we either are on the receiving end of it and, you know, maybe know a little bit because of that, or, you know, we're just out calling for our abstract, we want justice, but we don't know what exactly that it means. You know, we just know we want the outcome that we want. And so, similarly, we put that information so that, you know, if someone says, well, why are you here at the preliminary hearing? Well, what do you expect to happen at this preliminary hearing? You know, like they want to talk to people who are informed. And so that's why we're putting together these kinds of materials. The other one that I did cover is this 198 methods of action, nonviolent action. Some people may have seen it before. It is literally 198 ways that you can pressure, call attention to an issue, disrupt or publicize, popularize, and one of them being protests, finally, and the need for us to have unified messages. This is just one version of many that is a chant sheet that, you know, when you're out in the street, it's important that, you know, if people are going to chant, I am Oscar Grant, then everybody should chant that. If people are going to chant, the streets, our streets, you know, like people need to know these things. And these are all old tools. I have this thing running in the background. This is stuff that historically, these are the things that we've been doing since before the internet, since before, you know, YouTube and all of that. And so it's just, this is our contribution in part to helping to do both. You know, we're putting this stuff together on the online so that the materials will be together, but then also for people, some of whom have snuck out, who aren't online, you know, there's still a lot that you can do with just, you know, a pen even, and a Xerox machine. So So our information is on here. Music's going to add something, and then we're going to wrap with a couple of announcements.
Right before, and thank you very much, Rachel, for going over some brass tacks as far as what can help us become more organized. The other piece of the packet which we have in here is this flyer. This flyer is simple and to the point. And what it does is it popularizes the man who was actually shot and killed by the police, and it puts a face to, you know, the action and the movement that we're building at this point. So it's designed to buttress everything else that's in the packet with another form of action, just to get this thing out and to put it up everywhere that you can. Every time that we've gone to demonstrations, we've actually seen this image on people's shirts, seen them on their backs, taking this, seen it on bumper stickers now, seen buttons of this thing. That's exactly the way it was done back in the day. This is partly how the civil rights movement got some gains. That's partly how the Vietnam War was won. Let's get right down to it. It came down to brass tacks and making it an issue for everybody in society, not just a few. So this is just another addition to that packet. And I used to work for the Monita campaign just way back when, and we had a Face of Justice campaign that we attempted to get together. One of the weaknesses of it, though, is that we didn't get enough support in terms of actually getting this thing put out. That was one of the organizers to do that. Here we actually have that historic opportunity to win this case. So taking the packet, using everything in it, including this Face of Justice, will, I think, really help. So now we're going to move on to announcements. Right. Exactly. So we're going to have people who are here speak about what they will be doing, give announcements to their particular actions that they will be doing in support of Oscar Grant, starting with tomorrow, the preliminary hearing, which will be at 8 a.m. at everybody's meeting. So I'm seeing people that I know that will be making presentations. I'm going to give it off to DeAndre, October 22nd. Go ahead.
Well, actually, the Rift Club's been out all week, and that's why we are mainly here today. Getting out the posters, getting out our leaflets. And let me just say that out in the neighborhoods, the name Oscar Grant means something, and people identify with that name. At the same time, they're not sure, you know, what we can really do, but they want to do something. They may not initially jump at the chance to come down tomorrow, but we got to keep working on it. And in terms of, you know, this question which a lot of us face about burnout, there is no remedy against burnout better than bringing more people into the struggle. That is our strength, you know. This is not isolated, people know it. This is what people are facing all over this country. We are not going to win this struggle with the people here. We've got to go out. That means after this meeting, going out, you know? We still got some time. So what we're doing, I think Rachel talked about, we have this mobile projector of the video that we're showing at night on building walls, gathering a crowd and showing that, and then talking about the stakes for both sides of this battle. One other thing I just wanted to mention, we can't forget the people who were out and busted on the 7th and other days. Because this happened both because they're our friends and they're important, but it also says a lot about how serious we are as a movement. Are we going to expand and call people in and then let them go? Actually, one of the Rev Club members who has been, and the three people that were charged with felonies, this was not charged on that night. They sat back and they looked at who was representative of what we fear. One guy was J.R., the columnist for Bayview. Another one was this young brother from the neighborhood that represented that element coming into the struggle. They got a felony on him. But there was a young brother from the Revolution Club, a young Chicano brother, in fact, a juvenile, who they stuck two felonies on. What was he doing? Talking to a bullhorn in Southern Revolution newspaper. But they find that very threatening. A young Chicano revolutionary communists out there that are going after him. His next court date is the 15th of June. So I really want people to support all those arrested, and don't forget about young David Santos. Thank you.
And further announcements, I have two more minutes, and then we're going to keep it going because we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon. Right.
The town hall every Saturday at 4 p.m. at 807 27th Street, which has been going on, as I was put in the paper, since it started. And it is also somewhere where you can come and really and make your announcements and see what's going on in the community, in all the communities, especially the community that's most affected. Also, on May the 26th, we'll be doing Caravan for Justice 3. This is our third time to Sacramento because the objective of the town hall and the community meeting and the community council, the bottom line is to change policies. So we'll be going on May the 26th. You can go to www.caravanforjustice.com. You can see all the locations where the buses are. On the second one, we had almost 1,000 people. This time we plan on taking 2,000. We're meeting with the Black Caucus, the Asian Caucus, and the Latino Caucus, and with Senator Aviana, all of them are on board. So May 26th, you can go to www.carryoverjustice.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Shane, and I've been with CopWatch since the beginning of the year, directly, right shortly after Elsie Graham was murdered on that platform. And for anyone in here that is interested in coming out, and this week especially, observing police behavior before, during, and after the demonstrations at the truck, please come up and talk to myself, or Kelly, or Andrea, or Rebecca. And let us know that you'd be willing to come out, and we'll give you a quick training. And just from what we've noticed going on locally is that in putting the cameras on these stops and on these interactions between the police and the community members, they have already allowed them to go shortly after we roll up and put the cameras on. So that, from our experience, that has been a positive. And anytime you see a police interaction with a community member, feel free to stop. If you don't have anything to record, stop and observe. But especially if you have a video camera, even if it doesn't have a recording device, put it up there like it does. They don't know. They don't know.
There you go.
Another thing, teacher, we were making signs yesterday out of East Oakland and Casamon. And she brought up the fact that everybody but Berkeley students have school tomorrow. And she said a lot of her kids would like to come to the demonstration, and what kind of protection can we offer them from, you know, getting graphic truancy? So I think that's something we need to think about for tomorrow. And maybe we'll tell them, you know, tell the police here from Berkeley, because Berkeley students have tomorrow off and on the next day. All right.
This is kind of an announcement. I live in San Jose, and I really want to organize down there. There's been hella police terror down in San Jose. They've been executing people, assassinating people left and right down there. I know that people know Oscar Grant down there, and the May Day march and rally, and also on May 1st, I carried a big poster that had Oscar Grant poster on it, and people come up to me and thank me. So I want to know if the people who made the videos today, if there's a possibility for me to get a copy, that there's a way I can set up a teaching down there for the people. And I'm going to see what I can do down there about getting people to go out, find a place that we can stand and protest. Because it's very difficult for me to get up to here. I'm totally broke. I don't have the money to ride the public transportation. But I think it's important that the police departments in different cities see that people are outraged at what happened with the murder of Oscar Grant, and they're going to be protesting in their home cities because they can't get up here.
Thank you. So we're going to close with this video by Jasiri X, and it's a combination of
of video clips and so on, and a response really from you know, from the hip hop community especially, and hopefully the sounds will work right, and then we're going to wrap it up. But it's very good.
A victim has emerged tonight and captured a tense moment leading up to a false police officer shooting that killed a man on New Year's event. A victim has emerged tonight and captured a tense moment leading up to a false police officer shooting that killed a man on New Year's Day.
The camera shifted to an officer trying to arrest one man, but another officer's gun fired behind them. 22-year-old Hager resident Oscar Grant was hit by the officer's bullet. He later died.
It's 2009, could have been found from the car to Captain New Year's Eve. You know the trends being around. It happened in both years, but it made me be an out. People started fighting and somebody pointed out me. Here come the cops, police charging me. I told all the people, I'm a father, please. I got a little brother, don't show me 4 years old. In my world, my blessed moments, it's stuck the world. If they just took a minute, I had to see people. But these cops only understand fear of control. Face down on the ground in a phone position. Five stands start recording, cell phones are slipping. Thinking he's another brother on the road to prison. They have no idea they're going with this attention. This young brother was slipping, but he wasn't resisting it.
Johannes Messer
made a fatal decision as he rose to a seat and took hold of his seat. The entire train station rose in disbelief. Oscar, father, barely over 20, with
the
back of the police cruisers. Now I see cops and riot gear surround the protest.
That's how you make your own media. That's how you make